Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk.
Anyway, I am joined here on the air by my lady, my love, my best friend, my wife. Hi, darling.
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah. It has been an interesting week.
Yeah, it has.
Now, I remember back during the winter, we spent all this time at the very beginning of the show talking about weird weather and yeah, now the weirdest thing is it just doesn't seem to be warm enough yet. I hadn't figured that out, but are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
It's just not going to be quite spring yet.
Yeah, I guess not.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of excited about tonight's show. We are joined tonight by M.R. Sellers of the Rowan Gant novels, and I'm kind of looking forward to hearing more about the novels and sharing that with the listeners. So, without further ado, I think we ought to go ahead and bring him in. And Merv, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All
How
right.
are you this evening?
doing well.
Good.
So, usually at the beginning of the show, one of our common practices is to allow and ask our guest to share a bit about themselves for the one or two listeners out there that may not be familiar. So,
I expect you probably have thousands of listeners who have never heard of me. I'm one of the best kept secrets of the Midwest.
Well, in that case, share away, please.
Well, in reality, I'm just your average guy. I'm just a homebody who happens to have a lot of nightmares. And in order to get rid of the nightmares, when I was a kid, I used to tell them to a teddy bear. But you know, it's when you're 55, you don't walk around with a teddy bear anymore. So I started writing them down, and they turned into stories that people were willing to read. And next thing I knew, I was able to sell them to a publisher, and then they wanted more. And it kind of worked out because they send me money and I buy beer and I drink the beer and then I write another story and I get more money and I can get more beer. So it's kind of a circle
of more
lit.
Nightmares.
Yes, exactly. Bad beer, worse nightmares. But, you know, other than that, you know, I'm just really your average guy with a keyboard and a lot of nightmares. I throw words at the page and hope like hell they stick, pretty much.
All right, fair enough. So let's see, how long have you been doing this?
Getting paid for the writing? I've been getting paid for writing. If you count journalistic endeavors minor payments for little things, I've been getting paid for writing for probably about 25 years. As far as being a novelist, let's see, this is what, 2017? 17 years. 17 years.
Okay.
I've been getting paid to write books. Not that I get paid that much. Unlike what you see on television, writers don't necessarily live like Castle does. we don't make that kind of money. We don't live in penthouse apartments, and we can't just bandy around the unlimited credit card. It doesn't work that way. But, you know, it pays the bills. So, you know, most of the time, you know, the major advice I usually give to somebody who wants to write for a living is marry well.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, paying the bills is always a good thing. So
absolutely.
Yes, it is.
So, I guess for myself, I have to admit that I have not had a chance to read much fiction in about the last 15 years. I take the time to read through some nonfiction, but I don't get a chance to read a lot of fiction. So I understand the premise of the stories, but I don't know a whole lot more. Could you share the premise and that sort of stuff with the listeners?
Well, the premise of the Rowan Gant novels, I've got two series out there, the Rowan Gant novels and the Constance Mandalay novels. The Rowan Gant investigations basically center around a witch, a male witch, living in the Midwest, and his wife, who is also a witch. And his best friend is a homicide detective. And the whole series kicks off with Rowan having, getting a visit from his friend who's the homicide detective, and he's just dropping by for a normal visit, and he just so happens to mention that he's working on this particular case, and he knows that Rowan is pagan, and he asks him, can you have a look at some crime scene photos for me, because I've seen... There's this symbol that was drawn at this crime scene, and I've seen you wearing it around your neck, and the expert that the department called in is telling us that it's, you know, all this evil satanic stuff, and, you know, I know better than to believe that's what you're into, so can you have a look at this? Well, Rowan proceeds to look at the crime scene photos, and he also schools his buddy on the difference between Hollywood Satanism and what, you know, Satanism really is, and so on and so forth, and basically dispels a lot of myths and ends up getting embroiled in a murder investigation that involves a serial killer. And it was written really, quite honestly, as a one-off. The one thing I had wanted to do, I was a journalism major in school. And my grand plan for my life was to be a war correspondent or something like that. I wanted to win. My plan was to win two Pulitzer Prizes, retire, and get married and have 2.3 children and a dog and a cat and a white picket fence and to write novels, like so many other journalists have done. And as it turned out, my whole plans got derailed. I never became a full-fledged journalist who won Pulitzer Prizes, and but because primarily because I met the love of my life and married her, and got the picket fence and one child, so yeah, and like 12 cats and three dogs and you know that sort of thing. But you know, it got around to me writing this, and it just was born of my desire to get these stories out there. And it, you know, it just kind of really took off. It was written as a one-off where I was thinking, okay, I've always said I'm going to write a novel. I'm going to write this novel. It will probably sell 3 copies to my friends, and I'll have my complimentary case of books sitting in my garage languishing and being eaten by termites. And that's all, you know, that'll be the end of it. And lo and behold, it took off well enough. The publisher was asking for a second book and then a third book. And as it stands now, there are 10 Rowan Gant novels and one Constance Mandeley novel with a second one coming out later this year. And Constance Mandeley, she's an interesting character in and of herself. She's an FBI agent who first made an appearance in the first Rowan Gant novel. And became, she was supposed to be, she was actually supposed to be just a cannon fodder kind of character. I mean, she was just supposed to walk on, deliver her lines, and walk off. She was just supposed to be a fly in the ointment. And she was interesting enough that she reappeared in the second Rowan Gant novel. And then with each subsequent novel, she gained a bigger part and a bigger part and a bigger part and became integral to the stories. And she kind of deserved her own spinoff, and that's what happened.
Very cool. So, at what point, you know, I know that you write books, obviously, based around pagan ideology, but at what point did you, and how did you, find your spiritual path?
Oh, my spiritual path is a big old nasty mess of tangled cables and knots on the floor somewhere. I'm originally from Kentucky, and
okay.
I was brought up in a Pentecostal household, and then moved to St. Louis when I was very small, and my parents were very open-minded. But the problem was that as soon as my rear end fit a tractor seat, I was back home in Kentucky working. And so I would be spending it with the Pentecostal grandparents. And then sometimes I'd get sent into town to stay for a couple of weeks with the Baptist grandparents. And then I'd come back to St. Louis and I'd be with the open-minded family who was, you know, investigate whatever you want. And my mother was, while she was open-minded and somewhat Christian, was also basically, you know, her own family tradition, hill witchcraft kind of thing going on.
Backwoods witch.
And yes, she was. And
mm-hmm.
and so that that translated to a lot of, you know, things for me. And so probably when I was 15 or so, I started pursuing a pagan path and have bounced all over the map with that. And, you know, I would have to say that I'm pretty nondescript in that right now. The past few years, I've actually taken, while I haven't changed my ideology, I have taken a step back from the pagan community to an extent because of some of the crazy infighting that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when you're a traveling writer where you're going from one end of the country to the other, top, bottom, all around, and you're doing that 3-4 months out of the year, and you see that everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it constantly.
And people try to drag you into it.
Boy, that was exactly what I was getting ready to say. People try to drag you into it when it's not even your town or your people. It starts to wear on your nerves. So I've taken a step back and have cut back on the number of festivals I was doing. But, you know, now I'm starting to get back into, doing more of the festivals. But it can take a toll on you.
Yeah, I do know.
Absolutely.
For...
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah, for 10 years I was the organizer of an event called the Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance Beltane in New Jersey, and so I know exactly what you're talking about as far as infighting and craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on a slightly different topic, I understand you and I have a friend in common, I found out today. I happened to mention to Jackie that we were interviewing you tonight, and she's my neighbor, and I've known her for 20 years,
oh, cool.
Jackie Sutton Owl.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
She's on the show occasionally. Yeah. And she was
cool.
Like, oh, you tell Merv I said hi.
Absolutely. How is she doing? I heard she was in a bit of an accident recently.
Yeah. She rolled her car. She walked away
rolled
from it.
Rolled her car. Wow.
Yes.
Well, she actually bounced it and flipped it a couple of times. It wasn't so much a rollover as a flyover.
Yeah. Merv, it
wow.
was a absolute miracle that... She wasn't hurt.
She was on the show
wow.
with us last Thursday, the day after she had, the day
mm-hmm.
after the accident, she was on the show with us a week ago tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's a tough little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't cross her.
That 10-foot kelp thing she does. Yeah.
yeah. Oh, yeah. There are great, great stories with her. I first met her. At what was the name of that festival? Gathering of the Tribes.
Gathering of the Tribes. Betsy.
That was at Isle of Wight, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
this one? Because there were a couple of them. We were at Isle of Wight, Virginia, and that was the first time I had done that particular festival. I was doing it with Dorothy Morrison, and if you've got the time, I can tell you the whole sordid story. I had actually injured my shoulder, and I was on painkillers, and I had flown in to Norfolk. And the flight attendant had taken pity on me, and she was feeding me scotch the entire time. So I'm on painkillers and scotch. So I just kind of rolled off the plane. And Dorothy Morrison was living in near Washington, D.C. at the time. So she actually was driving down, so she told them that she would stop at the airport and pick me up and bring me in. And so she, picked me up, and of course I was just schnockered off the plane. And she took me out and got me something to eat, Golden Corral or whatever, and we got to the site. And the next day, we'd done workshops and done our thing and so on and so forth. And I was puttering around my little campsite. They had a little pop-up camper for me to stay in. And across the way was Jackie with her RV and everything. And she starts waving, come over, come over. They had, drinks and food and everything. And I got to sit over there and visit with them. And we just had a ball. Just had a ball.
That's Jackie. She sees people everywhere she goes.
Hey, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a force. I've been very blessed in my life to have her as a mentor and a friend for the last 20 years or so. And as I said, she's my neighbor now. I actually bought the house that I live in because she was next door, and I was visiting her one weekend, and it was up for auction, and she took me over there. It was her evil plan. She took me over there, and she's like, oh, just come look at this house. You'll really like it. Let's just go look. And the next thing I know, I was buying a house. She's funny.
That sounds like her.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah. So
Merv, where in the world are you living these days? Because you talked about Kentucky and you talked about other places there.
Well, I'm originally from Kentucky, Fulton, Kentucky. It's a little spot on a road. I think it was actually a a hub town where all the railroads went through. And of course, when the railroads stopped really, you know, doing a lot of work through there, I think the big claim to fame is they have a Walmart now. But when I was young, my father got a job with McDonnell Douglas, so he moved to St. Louis. And I've been living in St. Louis pretty much ever since. I currently live just outside of St. Louis in Jefferson County. Got a house with a couple of acres of woods around it and a quiet little area. And I can sit out on my deck and watch the deer and, you know, watch the owls mm-hmm. and the hawks and the groundhogs and whatever the hell else seems to want to come through. And
sounds pretty
that
nice.
Makes life a little yeah. easier. Oh, it is.
You're pretty
yeah.
much doing what we do.
Yeah.
If,
so
where's
Fulton,
if
Kentucky?
Where's Fulton, Kentucky? Oh. It's in southwestern Kentucky. It's right on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee. As a matter of fact, if you're in Fulton, Kentucky, you step on Main Street and you just step a little bit over the middle of it, and then you're in South Fulton, Tennessee.
Okay.
But
over near
on
to
the
Mississippi.
Oh yeah, you know, it's at the western okay. end. You know, out there, you know, if you come from St. Louis and everything, you end up going through Cairo, Illinois, and everything, Clinton, Kentucky, to get there and such. It's about almost as west Kentucky as you can get.
Now, I grew up in Southeast Tennessee, so that's why I was wondering
okay.
where it was.
Yeah, yeah. If you go any further west, you're in Illinois, pretty much. You know.
Okay.
So it's
I know
the
about
end.
The area you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the you know these days a lot of wheat and soybeans used to be tobacco country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. But, you know, we
all
had
right.
my grandparents had a farm there. We had a farm. My uncle had a farm. You know, everybody in the family had a farm in Fulton and or Water Valley, which was the farming community out right outside of Fulton. So, you know, when my rear end fit a tractor, you know, I was back down there during the summer and the fall and such, and I'd be, you know, planting or, you know, driving a combine or, you know, whatever's necessary, you know.
Right.
And so.
And now you got a couple of quiet acres that you don't have to go till and plow and
no,
harvest.
And it wouldn't do me any good because where I am in Missouri, it's a big rock pile. We're out away from the river. So it's not the nice sandy, silty, or clay or anything like that. I'm sitting on top of a rock pile. Whenever I do anything in my yard, it requires a pickaxe. I kid you not.
Just to plant a garden, huh?
Yeah. To plant a garden, I actually put in raised beds and backfilled them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably a lot easier, yeah. Yep. Well, where we are in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, the tourist brochures for Pennsylvania call the area we live in the wilds of Pennsylvania.
The wilds of Pennsylvania. Okay.
The wilds.
Wilds.
Yeah. 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 The
We're
wilds
in the slate belt. We're in
yeah.
the slate belt.
Yeah.
That's
so we got a ton of rocks too. So.
Yep. So yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you go to dig a hole or something, and it requires a you know pickaxe and a jackhammer, but you know. It allows for some exercise, you know, and then, you know, we've got a nice fireplace and a hearth room and everything. So, I get out to get, you know, split logs and everything, all that good, throwback to when I was a kid, you know, and I hated it so much and now it's kind of cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Swing an axe. I like to get on the tractor, the little garden tractor. I mean, not a tractor like you were. Driving mm-hmm. as a kid, but ride around and just mow the yard, and we got about an acre that we maintain, and the rest of it's woods. But I like to mm-hmm. get out on that, you know, on that little bit, and you know the music of the mower engine, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, it's just me and nature and a and a John Deere garden tractor.
I know what you're saying. We've got the 2 acres, and there's our comparatively our yards of postage stamp, because most of it is really just woods. But I've got actually an actual tractor out there that I use for front loading and pulling honeysuckle out and everything, because in Missouri, bush honeysuckle is an invasive species and it crowds out everything else, and so we have to get rid of it. And so we're all the time pulling bush honeysuckle out. But on top of that, I've also got 2 rental houses that I maintain, and one of those has like about a third of an acre. So I've got a little craftsman garden tractor that I go up there with and mow that lawn and so on and so forth. So, it's I've always got something to do.
You can tell we're just a bunch of country folks sitting around talking about our tractors and our lawn mowers.
true story. That's a running joke.
Yeah, we're discussing our connection to nature.
That's right.
There we go.
That's right.
Connection to nature. That's it. That
works for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the running joke is that I'm just a redneck, and I just happen to write.
Join the club.
I tell you, I'm
trying to figure out how to get my goats here.
Yeah, so I was looking at my wife one day and talked about how good she looked in the outfit she was wearing and a pair of jeans and just looking like an old country girl. And she said, "But I grew up in New York City." And I said, "Yeah, but you got over it."
So. You got over it. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I married a Yankee too.
The funny thing is, I was reading your bio, and I live with my wife and my daughter, 3 cats, and we just lost our dog a few months ago, and we're getting a new one this weekend. And I'm reading your bio, and I'm like, wife, daughter, 3 cats, dog, good grief. And now finding out you living out with a couple of acres and enjoying being out in the country, and I was like, wow, this is kind of cool.
Yep. Yeah. Sounds like, yeah, I mean, it's I guess I really need to, I don't know if I get that thing updated. How many cats do we have now? I guess we only have 3. We had 3, and then we lost one, and then we got another one, so I guess we're back to 3. But I might have to update that as far as our names go. I don't know.
Yeah, you might. So, all right, well, we are at the bottom of the hour, and it is time for us to take a short song break. And with all of our eclecticism, I got to thinking and cutting up with my own self, and I thought, are you familiar with Wreck of the Modern Pagan by Murphy's Midnight Rounders?
Uh-huh, yeah.
All right, I thought I'd play that tonight just in honor of our eclecticism. And so everybody hang around for a few minutes. We're going to listen to this and an ad, and we'll be right back after this.
Sounds good.
Plastic handles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print to praise Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me because she's a vegetarian. She's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horn and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords is coming in the chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany. The court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight, and each one does his own great bread consisting of the alternate keys. F7 scribes a circle round, and F8 takes the circle down. F9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle he says that someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude, her past is strictly druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his +2 arrows into mud. The magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk, in a Mitsubishi trunk, cause demons really don't play nice.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He's TOS and OTO and BTW Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. He says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Grimassi, and the Budapest in volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
The Viking path's the one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great, 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 great granddad did it too. His songs use funny sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes.
He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meter brew. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass, it's true.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
And now a message from our friends at International Pagan Radio.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
Everybody, welcome back. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin, and tonight also with M.R. Sellers.
Hey there.
Hanging out with us under the shady tree. Are you there, Merv?
Yes, I am.
All right. So, welcome back, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, before the break, we were just kind of hanging out and talking about your books and living in the country and enjoying tractors and such. And you had
Absolutely.
Said that you've been kind of stepping back from the pagan community, but that you were in the process of kind of re-engaging. I guess you've got some festivals coming up, or?
Well, I just did a festival at the end of last year in October. Did the Phoenix Festival's autumn meet down in Florida. And I have got this year, I really don't have much of anything coming up. I'm getting things set up for next year. This year I will be doing, I plan on being at Pagan Picnic, which is a local event. Here in St. Louis, so it's, you know, real close for me. And I have a science fiction convention that I'll be doing in, I believe, October, which is right here in St. Louis. But I'm not doing any traveling this year. I've been on kind of a hiatus to get things done around my house. We moved here a couple of years ago from the city out to the country. And I've been maintaining some rental homes and things like that, so I've had a lot of work to do with that. So I kind of went on a hiatus from writing and from traveling and doing any touring. And I've been back at the writing now, and I've got a new Constance Mandalay book coming out later this year. And so I'm getting that all set up, and then I'll start touring to promote that next year. So if anybody's, you know, listening who runs a festival and they're interested in booking me, then they can contact me at mrsellers.com. Otherwise,
well,
they'll probably be hearing from me directly.
Well, actually, after we close for the show, stay on the line and we'll talk about that, because I'm actually trying to book some presenters for a festival we're doing in New Jersey next year. So
okay,
we can talk.
Well,
yeah, and when the
sure.
and just before the book comes out, let us know so that we can have you back on with us on a Thursday night. and hang out and talk about the book.
Oh, would love to do that.
I've had a blast tonight. I want to thank you again for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I always enjoy being on podcasts, especially with people with trackers.
Yeah. Pagans with tractors. It gets better.
Pagans with trackers. That's even better, yeah.
Pagans with tractors, yeah.
There's probably a song in that if you were one of the musical artists.
Where's Brad? Call Brad.
That's it. We need to call Brad and Teresa.
Pagans with tractors.
Pagans with tractors. Either that or we could get talk to Tuatha Dea.
One of them.
Yeah. They're good old mountain boys. They get.
Oh, absolutely. Get Danny on the phone. I'm sure he can come up with something.
That's it.
Yeah, so, Tuatha Dea is great. Love them.
Yeah.
Awesome. Bunch.
Yeah, we got to hang out with them some at Caldera Fest last year.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they were. I guess it was last year. Last year, I think it was. They were in town to actually do Pagan Picnic, and or maybe it was the year before last. Either way, they were in town to do Pagan Picnic, and they were all worn out and tired, and we had them out to the house. And fed them. And man can eat. I'm here to tell you. You get that whole mess of them. I had stuff coming off the grill constantly. But they were a blast. And they pulled out the guitars. And my daughter's a musician. And so they just kind of took her under their wing. And they all sat out there with guitars playing and singing and drums. And just impromptu little concert right out there on the deck. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, so I know you said mrsellers.com, and that's the place you want people to go to find information and find out how to, there's a contact form there or something? Or?
Sure. If you want to know anything about me that I'm willing to tell you, then you can find it at mrsellers.com, and you can mrsellars.com, or if you spell it ers.com, it'll still get you there because I was kind of smart and I paid for both the domains. But you can also find me on Facebook. I have an MR Sellers page. I think it's facebook.com/sellersmr. And that's the official fan page or whatever you want to call it that my publicist runs. And, it throws news there. I don't think there's really any major updates on it right now, but it throws news out there, and I'll occasionally post something out there that's, my radical political opinion or something stupid like that, and I'll make people angry, and then I'll argue with them, and there you go.
All right. Sounds like fun. Everybody check that out. All right. Well, again, thanks for being with us, and this is the point in the evening where we take a moment. And Robin tells everybody how to get in touch with us.
Yes, I can do that. So, if you want to get in touch with Terry or myself, you can send us an email at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You also can find us, of course, on Facebook. And the Facebook page that goes with the email address is Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings. On Facebook. Also, my personal Facebook page, Robin A. McKean, or you can find Terry on his Facebook page, which is Rev Terry Power HP. And, of course, you can also come and see us at Ishtar Fest coming up June 9, 10, that weekend in central New Jersey. It is going to be a lot of fun. We're doing kind of a Ren Faire theme, but it's with the Sumerian pantheon. So instead of going there and seeing like kings and queens and, princes and princesses, people will be there who are dressed as the Sumerian gods, and you can interact with them and, come dressed as your own Sumerian deity or, person who might have lived at that time. Or hell, just come in a costume that you like. And if you come in
just
costume...
Just be there. It's going to be a blast.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun. And show up in costume, get a free crescent roll. Hey, they're awesome. Get it. Fertile crescent.
Roll.
Yeah. So come on out for that. That's, again, going to be run by a coven in New Jersey called Hands of Change. And you can find them at handsofchange.org if you'd like more information about the event. There will be vendors and classes, and there's going to be a Sumerian feast on Saturday night, which is included with the price of admission. Where there will be kids track, so your kids will be kept busy, so you can go off and enjoy yourself and go to great classes. So
there will be drumming and rituals.
Yes, exactly.
And you'll have a chance to meet me and Robin.
Oh, yeah, as if, sure. You know, that's any great shakes. But anyway, you can find me at the White's in Muncie, too. But anyway, usually on a Thursday night. But
on the weekends, I'm on a tractor.
There you go. But if that's something you'd actually like to do, at least you'll know us, and you can come up and say, hey, I know you guys from the radio, and then you won't feel like you're alone there. So come out and meet us. And I've known these people in the Hands of Change Coven for 20 years. They're awesome people. They are really excited about doing this event for people, and it's just going to be so unique and so much fun. So come and find us.
Yeah, what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is going to be a blast. A full moon ritual on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Activities throughout the day, ritual, feast, and drumming. I think there's going to be some belly dancers performing. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot going on, and, you know, family-friendly, beautiful, beautiful land. The energy there is amazing. It is peaceful and calm. Come on out and camp with us. It's $75 per person, which is way affordable for considering the price of a lot of pagan events. So, you know, come on out and hang with us. Walk like a Sumerian.
Yep, absolutely. That's the plan.
So, Merv, you ought to come over, too.
Well, I'll do.
Don't have a tractor for you, but I'll come on over. And
I think Charlene
can
probably
tractor
find
long
a tractor if needed one.
Well, believe me, when I've been at a few events where there have been tractors, and I've threatened to take them. So, I actually have a reputation as a golf cart thief at events. I have been known to find unattended golf carts and just take off with them.
Help yourself.
Especially,
yeah. Well, you know, they shouldn't
especially
leave them lying
at FPG. I used to do that at FPG all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was
you go hide them somewhere? Or?
Oh, I was known for hiding them or just taking them and joyriding. Just making an ass of myself, basically. As a matter of fact, at the Phoenix Festivals at Autumn Meet here recently, they've got a tradition down there that there's a group of ladies that all camp out, and they have what they call the bra tree, and they hang a bunch of bras from the tree.
Oh, yeah.
So a couple of us borrowed a golf cart without permission. Now, I say it was without permission, but it just so happened that I was one of the author guests, and in addition to that, my campsite, I was camping with the president of the board of directors of the festival. And so he and I stole a golf cart that was not his golf cart, and we executed late night raids upon the bra tree, where we would drive through the camp and yank down bras off of the tree. And then we'd bring them back and hang them up at our camp and hide the golf cart behind all the tents and stuff. And and then we'd sit and have a couple of drinks, and we'd talk about how much fun that was, and then we'd forget how much fun it was, and we'd have to go do it again. Yeah, so, I'd have to relive the glory. So after we did that a few times, they came down and got their bras back, and then I had actually driven down to Florida for that particular event as opposed to flying, because I was helping somebody move back up here. And I had my truck parked there, so the ladies knew which truck was mine, and they proceeded to, yes, there must have been 4,000 rolls of toilet paper. I don't know. They wrapped the truck.
You got decorated.
It was decorated well. But, hey, it was all in good fun. I mean, one good turn deserves another, and I thought it was fun.
Yeah, well, you'd earned that anyway, right? So.
Yes, I had. But one of the problems was they also decorated a couple other people's cars who they assumed were involved in the raids, but who were not. That was a little unfortunate for them, because these poor guys had nothing to do with anything that I and the board president had done. But they got nailed.
Oops.
Yep, absolutely. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. All right. Well, again, thank you for being with us tonight. I've had a blast. Robin, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
Yeah, just wanted to say, you know, so nice to finally talk to him. Heard quite a bit about Merv from, you know, the evil old lady next door, whom I love. But and like I said, she just really wanted to say hello. And she was thinking about calling in, but she might have fallen asleep. She's been doing a lot of that. She's still taking pain meds from the accident, so.
Well, I'm sure. When you talk to her, you tell her I said hey, all right? Give her a hug.
I will.
Up to it.
Mm-hmm. And Merv, was there anything that you wanted to share that we didn't ask you about? Anything that you wanted to tell the listeners?
Oh, let's see. I occasionally get that weird question, like boxers or briefs. It's usually briefs.
Okay. All right. Thanks for sharing.
You know, one of the things that I do at a lot of events is a Q&A session. You can ask me anything you please, and if I don't want to answer it, I'll make something up. I've actually been asked that question. I've been asked a lot of weird questions over the years. But that's one of them.
Well, what is your next favorite weird question that you've been asked?
Next favorite work. That's a real hard one.
Because obviously boxers or briefs was your favorite, because you mentioned that you led with that. So.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, because it seems to be a common thread there with a lot of people. But if you've never read the Rowan Gant investigations, to give you a little bit of background, there's all of the books sort of tie in together. And when you get a little deeper into the series, you know, obviously Rowan's always dealing with these police investigations that usually involve some kind of a serial killer or a spree killer or a serial rapist or, you know, something that's got some kind of a really egregious crime that also has an occult tie to it. Because what happens with Rowan is he can hear the dead. And there's a later series within there. There's like a sub-series within the series where there's a dominatrix who's the serial killer.
Oh,
and
cool.
She went from – she was supposed to be in one book, and it turned into a trilogy, actually, because it was just too big of a story. But at any rate, I guess too much fun. The next question, the next weird question that I would get is usually something involving my sex life.
Ah.
You know, people will add, having read those, they'll want to know about my sex life.
Wondering if this is a person in your life that just went nuts.
If it's a person in my life, or how I did the research for it, and so on and so forth. So, you know, that ends up being some pretty interesting conversations or interesting answers to some of those questions. Because, yeah, like most authors, when I write something, I write from experience or from very detailed research. So obviously I had to do some research in this area.
Well, you can just tell him you talked to me. I started my professional working life as a professional dominatrix in New York City for 3 years when I was 18.
Hey, rock on.
So.
There you go. Hey, fantastic.
You just blame me.
Sounds great.
That's all.
I'll just blame you. How's that?
There you go.
All right. Well, there we are. All right. Again, thanks for being with us. Stick around. We're gonna play the closed music and all that stuff. And stick around. We'll chat for a few minutes in the screening room.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a great time.
This has been fun. Looking forward to getting you over here so that we can hang out and chat some more. Show you maybe
okay.
Get you over here to the mountains sometime.
Sounds like a winner.
All right. So, again, thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks for taking a little bit of your time and spending it with us. This is why we do this, and we appreciate you and love you. Thank you for listening and making us, giving us a reason to do this. So, Robin, anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Just come see us at Ishtar Fest.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's handsofchange.org. So go check that out and come see us. And with that, I will wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.